It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland and Daniel Pryor, it's the Sound Mind broadcast, broadcasting for a number of years here on KCIS. Seems like, Daniel, we've tackled just about every subject to one degree or another.
At least once.
Have we ever talked about what we're talking about this week, though? Maybe a little bit? People, that you've called it, are you trapped in the past?
Yeah, I think I've talked about this, but repeating these things is just part of the work. As we've said many times on this show, life isn't easy, but it's simple. We repeat a lot of these things, and every time we repeat, we say it a little differently. And I always hear from people that come to see me, they've heard a particular show, and I'm thinking, well, that show's probably been run, three or four times, but not everybody hears it every time. And there are always new people coming on board.
Sure.
And like that. So, this is something that we've talked about before, a little bit of a different twist on it.
Well, we've got some updated examples of this that we wanted to expound on with the recent Kavanaugh hearings and some of the testimony that went on. And this woman who accused him, most of it was based on something called recovered memories. Mm-hmm. And you kind of wanted to give your two cents on what's going on there and how legitimate is that, and when is it legitimate, and what happens?
Yeah, I think we can't cover it all exhaustively here. We'll just touch on it a few minutes, and we'll segue into our topic. But I think that people find that fascinating and a little bit hard to wrap their minds around how memories can could this person be say that she's 100% sure that something happened, which maybe people that are listening haven't decided which one they believe. But the fundamental thing that what is fundamental to the truth in law and even in the reality of our own mind is they have to be facts that anchor us. And if there aren't any facts that anchor us, and I have a couple of experiences where I don't know if I've ever shared on the radio. I know I've shared with lots of friends and maybe even clients that I've. But I did a Bible study one time years ago, and in this Bible study, it was pretty intense Bible study, and it involved all the things, the vines and the Strong's Concordance and Greek interlinear, and it was like a full Bible study of a topical study through the Bible, and some weeks after that, I was in a Bible class that we were having, and I started talking about this Bible study that I'd done, and boy, the students looked at me like, what are you talking about? And then they were sort of chuckling, and they thought I was joking, and I was quoting a scripture verse, and they were just looking at me strange, and then they realized I wasn't joking, and they said, that verse isn't in the Bible. Well, of course it is. I can show you where. And they just kind of looked at each other, and they kind of scooted me the Bible, says, okay.
What was the verse? Do you remember?
I don't recall the verse, but it had to do with something.
You need to recover that memory.
It was one of the things where you would hear, it was like a, turned out to be something that, something along the lines of cleanliness is next to godliness or something like that.
Okay.
It was one of those things where,
what you were saying?
It was, yes. Oh, okay. Yes. And so, but see, the thing is, Mark, to this day, that Bible study that I did is as real as any Bible study. It's an actual memory of a Bible study I did, but I know that I didn't do it, and the only reason I know that I didn't do the Bible study is I was confronted with facts. I went back to the books that – now, what made me think I had done this Bible study was in the – apparently a dream that I had. There was nothing out of order. I wasn't using comic books or any – I was using the books that I was – so in the dream – all of the facts lined up, but there were facts in real life that when confronted with those facts, there was no other option than to say, that must not have actually happened. But to me, it was an example of how absolutely real a memory can be until it's confronted with facts to the contrary.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so lots of examples. So we were talking a little bit about dissociation, and it sort of folds into our topic today. Well, actually, dissociation folds into many mental health topics.
So what is dissociation? That's a protective mechanism that the mind uses.
It is. But the thing is that it's not a phenomenon that it's not something that we it's something that we all experience, and we do it. We use this mechanism not just for defense, but for comfort, which is another way of describing defense. You know, if something feels more comfortable. I'm sure that everyone out there that drives a car has been in a traffic situation here, where they've had to disconnect from the reality that they're in,
right,
and go to some kind of a worship service or think about happy days or something like that. In a way, that's disconnecting in that way.
Okay.
Now, of course, when we hear about dissociation, it's usually associated with some kind of a traumatic event.
Yeah, something more serious, serious trauma.
And what actually happens is the narrative, these storylines, like the Bible study that I had or thought I had, was actually a neurological trail. And there were some touchstones in this neurological trail, which happened to be the books that I read and the fact that there was nothing along that trail. It wouldn't be like a schizophrenic person who says, or if I dreamed that I was Abraham Lincoln and then I woke up and realized Abraham Lincoln died several hundred years ago, so I can't be Abraham Lincoln. It was a neurological trail, and it connected images in the brain, neurological connections, which we call memories, and they link together and they make a story. If there's a real event that happens, and again, in the brain, there isn't a difference between a real event and an imagined event unless there are facts to challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the brain, if there's a real event happened, and so it was a real trauma, a terrible thing that's happened, and we can imagine what that might be. And I have to disassociate that because that neurological path involves too much negative and unpleasant neurology.
Mm-hmm.
It can be terrifying. And so I find a way to create another neurological path that circumvents that story. So in a way, I'm creating a different story that's a more pleasant, that makes more sense. So you can imagine how these kinds of stories can, and to the believability of it, I just offer to people how absolutely certain I was that I had done this particular Bible study. Mm. And it was only when I was confronted by facts, and I was actually watching Dr. Ford when they were asking, are you 100% sure?
She sure was.
I was watching. Well, she was, but there were just some indicators that she was actually thinking it over again, and maybe she'd thought it over a lot. Am I absolutely sure? People can forget that they've done wrong things, even, people, how could you do something like that and forget it? Well, it's just the brain creates a different neurological path, and it's not that you doubt that, or it's not that you have evidence that it didn't happen. It's just that the narrative in your brain circumvents around that. So you have,
but it's not to say that traumatic things did not happen. Sometimes there are real traumatic things that happen in our child. You always think of the child who experienced terrible sexual abuse and creates different personalities. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's more extreme. That's a form of dissociation that God, I think, miraculously created the brain to be able to do that so it can survive.
Yeah, I had a psychiatrist friend some years back that a lot of people might know that was, he was in the area here. Working with Krista and then beyond that. And, in his later years in his practice, he was of the opinion that every so-called mental disorder is a form of dissociation.
Hmm.
So it's a pretty common thing, and it's real. These people aren't pretending. Who knows how this story got created. And the thing that persuades me that the judge is telling the truth is simply the facts that other people deny it, and I think that he was leaning on those facts. He is leaning on those facts because memory is not you can't bank
not
on
always,
it.
Yeah, yeah, can't always
not,
trust
not
that.
Only just the memory, but the chronology of the memory. You know, you can, you know.
Okay, well, let's kind of dial this back to a little bit more average experience for people. And people do, though, tend to dwell in the past. And perhaps people are listening today, they feel like life has lost its meaning, lost its joy. Feel like they're drifting a little mm-hmm. bit, and they just kind of want to reminisce all the time and go back to the good old days. But that can be not the most healthy, sound mind kind of mind to have.
Yeah, and I want to broaden the idea of past, because you can be trapped in the past, what I call the past. So I'm kind of redefining this to I want to define the past not necessarily as the chronological past, but the past is anything that keeps you from growing. And learning and progressing, growing your world. We've talked about growing your world a lot. Mm-hmm. And it does have to do, again, like my friend and former colleague, you said dissociation, every disorder involved dissociation. All of these things involve repeated brain patterns that are destructive and dysfunctional ways of thinking. And that's what I'm calling the past. So basically, as we've talked before, and if people have heard the show a lot, they kind of can see where we're going here. Basically, if I'm talking about living in the past, I'm referring to fear and shame. Of course, fear fundamentally has to do with our need for value, our need to control the circumstances that have an impact on us, and resources, to have resources or power, can be fear of failing, could be fear of social interactions, fear of rejection. Living in the past can be resistance to change, which is also resistance to change is also reflects a fear of failing or a fear of rejection, or just lack of purpose, fear of change or resistance to change can reflect a lack of purpose or a lack of vision, a lack of understanding. And what does living in the past look like? Again, it looks like a lot of these mental disorders that we talk about can look like disordered personality. And we've talked about that on the show before. Disordered personality, personality being a defense mechanism. And so living in the past, that is, living according to fear and shame is affects my personality, which affects my inner relationships with other people. It looks like anxiety. It looks like depression. It looks like anger and all of the associated conditions. And diagnosis, if you take anxiety, depression, anger, what we refer to sometimes as the root ball, fear, shame, mm-hmm. anxiety, depression, anger, all of the disorders are going to be based in those few things. And that is what I mean by living in the past, degrees of isolation, degrees of withdrawing from people, responsibilities, and endeavors. And that's what it looks like. So if that's if that describes you today,
yeah, if people are struggling with that, I think everybody does to a degree. But if it feels like it's out of whack in your life and you're really trapped in the past, you want to move forward into the future. Daniel would love to help you. Daniel, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. And people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you will find all these radio shows on the podcast, about 3 years of them. And, of course, I have an office in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind broadcast this week looking at living in the past. We don't want to be living in the past, be trapped by our past. This half of the show, we want to talk about living toward the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it surprises people how simple this is. They tend to just reject it a lot of times, or to give up because, life is not the fulfilling of dreams. It's the reaching out and attaining of goals. I've said before, you can't achieve a dream. We speak of dreams in broadly, but a dream is something that is, it's free floating. It's not attached necessarily to reality. It's attached maybe to desires or wants. But in order to achieve a dream, it has to become a goal. There have to be steps to it. And that's really intentional living in life. And that's really the basis of a confident, joyful life. And again, I think that a lot of times people reject the thought because it just seems too simple. And we overcomplicate our problems and we find them hopeless. And then a lot of times we go to medications when it's not going to be the solution. and it's going to just make things worse. But living toward the future means living toward goals and purposes, being goal and purpose oriented and other centered. Now there are variations on that and everybody's life is different. But basically, that's it. The living toward a goal and being other-centered. Now, we have some examples of that, and share these examples a lot of times in counseling. One example can be church involvement, and we can talk about that because everybody doesn't get involved in church in the same way. We're wired differently. Some people are just wired more socially. Mm-hmm. Other people are more introvert. I would challenge you though that you should be working against your resistance and working to change that. Don't use "I'm an introvert" as an excuse not to involve yourself and enhance and build deeper relationships. If we're going to change, we need to push against our resistance. That's true in physical workout. That's true in just learning things. You never learn anything if you don't read books that you haven't read before. Mm-hmm. So we have to push against our resistance.
Well, would you say that people who struggle with more, not struggle, but people who tend toward introversion more people who tend toward depression more than people who are extrovert?
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's a very practical way of pointing to the fact that the solution being other-centered, it gets right to the heart of that. Again, some of us, and the reason we're introverted, that's a personality type, but personalities are learned defense mechanisms. Mm-hmm. And so it isn't true that God gave us a personality. We can't get into a discussion of God's sovereignty. You can't wrap our minds around that completely. But He uses the context of our life and our life experience, and so that's what our personality is that way. So those aren't perfect, and every personality has its weak link and its negative side, so we need to, again, push against that. Involvement in the church can mean different things. Volunteer work, maybe you don't have time for volunteer work, but again, pushing against the resistance and maybe helping those in some way that do have volunteer work that they do, or at least appreciating them, at least, growing your mind, putting myself in that person's place mentally. There's a lot that goes on around us in life, a lot of meaningful things that we don't even take time to consider if we get too self-centered. So even being aware of what other people do and their involvement and just asking the question, I wonder if I could get involved in that way, is a step in the right direction. Even seeing your vocation as indeed a ministry, whether it's laying concrete or counseling people, mm-hmm. or seeing that as a ministry, understanding that life itself is an encounter with God and with His purpose, and seeing that's quite a thing to understand that life itself is an encounter with God and an encounter with God's purpose. you don't go anywhere or do anything in life that is not an encounter with God. And I think that we, you know, we were talking about dissociation earlier in the show. As Christians, I think we without realizing it, dissociate quite a lot. We live a narrative path in our brain that excludes God from life a lot. And we find ourselves running back, trying to find him in a time of need. We typically don't walk very close to him, and I see a lot of that. And then also, I wrote an article many years ago now, Relationship the Final Frontier. I think examples of being goal-oriented and purpose-oriented and other-centered is seeing relationships as not just things that come along in life and are a means to an end, something like that. But relationships are the final frontier. Relationships are where this all began, God's relationship, and the fact that he's relational, and it's where it all ends. The only thing that we take from this world when we go is relationship.
Well, that's interesting. It's not good for man to be alone.
Yeah.
I mean, he said that right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've said before that word good to me represents God, because we know that every good thing comes from God, and that there is no good apart from his nature. Now, of course, our direction in life, we're talking about being a goal purpose oriented and other centered. That can't, you can tempt that in a secular world, but there's got to be, or from a secular mindset, but that's only a temporary fix unless this purpose is something that answers the greater question of life. You know, I think it was Jean-Paul Sartre that said there's no point of reference that has any meaning without an ultimate point of reference. And,
right.
And then I think in his life, he realized late in life that ultimate point of reference had to be a God, had to be God. And so we don't want to make the mistake of thinking that we can just set up temporal goals and that those will suffice. They will for a short period of time, but that'll be a temporary fix. We have to have, you know, we have to find that ultimate goal that answers the question of life. And of course, as Christians, we know what that is. That's realizing that life has to do with God's purpose. You know, have a couple scriptures here. The Proverbs: without a progressive vision, the people wander aimlessly. And that, to me, just points us toward the need for a purpose-driven or a purpose-centered life.
And sounds like a popular book.
Yeah, there was a book about the purpose-driven life, wasn't there?
Yes,
and then
there was.
Purpose-driven church and a couple of, and the result of these things, again, people sometimes shy away from it because it sounds so simple, but the result of this is an ordered personality, confidence in life, joy, hope, and an abiding sense of well-being. So I talk to people all the time who those are the things that are lacking in their life, and if those are lacking in our life, we're going to have anxiety, we're going to have depression, we're going to have anger. We're going to have fear. We're going to be dealing with our shame and fear. Of course, we all have those things, but there are ways of dealing with those that are that have a positive end. We don't have to respond to fear and anger and anxiety and depression or fear and shame and anxiety, depression and anger.
Well, part of this living toward the future has to do with getting back to one of your main points that I always remember some of the charts and things I've seen that you've made. Is your world getting bigger or getting smaller? Mm-hmm. People who are struggling with depression and anxiety are people who their world is crashing in on them. Mm-hmm. And the people who are healthy are growing the world.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's what you mean by being relationship-centered and
relationship-focused. Yeah, we grow our world by pursuing meaningful goals and meaningful relationships. And that sometimes for some people is kind of a climb. Some people are fearful of engaging in goals because of the fear of failure, and some people are fearful of engaging in relationships. Again, we have to push against the resistance. We need help in these areas sometimes and encouragement, and it isn't easy. But I think the good news is that it really is that simple. That we don't have to have money. We don't have to have stellar personalities or, you know, winning jobs. Those things are make us comfortable. But basically in life, what we need to do to fulfill God's purpose in our life, understand his kingdom and have the kind of joy and confidence that the Bible promises us is that we have got to be moving forward in life. We've got to be pursuing goals and that ultimate purpose. We have to see that purpose in those goals, and we have to be pursuing relationships.
Yeah, well, this sounds kind of like more on what you do. You're called a counselor, but also a life coach,
mm-hmm, sure,
and getting people to be goal-focused. I mean, to me, that's a lot of what coaching is all about. Mm-hmm. That's definitely an area of expertise.
Right, and the counseling, people probably have figured this out, or I've said it before, that counseling, good counseling, does become coaching.
Mm-hmm.
In a while, after a time, just, you know, learning tools and then putting those tools to use. That's right.
Well, if people are needing some counseling, needing some life coaching, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Well, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com. These radio shows are podcasted there.
Many different subjects.
So. Yeah, and also the offices are in Edmonds and Kirkland.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.